Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Genesis this evening, chapter 19, verse 1. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1.
Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned unto him, and entered into his house, and made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, and that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And so ye do to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of assembling together. And Lord, asking you for the blessing of understanding and wisdom, and Lord, for your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds into the truths you'd have for us to hear tonight. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified and our lives blessed. And Lord, may we be yielded to the leadership of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we present ourselves as you have asked us to be the living sacrifice in your hands, that you might do with us as you will for your honor and glory. Bless each one here tonight. Bless your church, Northwood Baptist Church, here and all of your churches. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, as we look to this portion of Scripture here, the title of the message is simply, The Unfortunate Case of Lot's Backslidden Condition. What a place to be in for the life of a believer. The Bible tells us, and by the way, here's the question, how does this happen to a child of God? How does a child of God come to this place? And we're just kind of, we'll explore and consider how this takes place. 2 Peter, though, chapter 2, verse 7 says this, it says, And deliver just Lot, speaking of the Lord, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That's not a good testimony. He was vexed, he was filled with it, and he was compliant to it. So imagine that. They were coming after those two men that came, and they were angels, and somehow Lot understood. See, there was some spirituality to Lot. He knew that they were of the Lord, and so he brought them into his house. He didn't want them to stay out all night. Remember how the angel said, No, we're going to stay out here all night, and he was encouraging them greatly. No, I need you to come inside. Why was that? Because he knew what the men of Sodom were all about. And so he brings them in, and of course the men come to his door, and that tells you what happens when we try to make friends with the world. They're not our friends. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says the world is at enmity with the Lord, and if it's at enmity with the Lord, they will be at enmity with you and I also. And so after Lot comes out, can you imagine offering up your daughters to wicked men like that? I don't know where his heart and mind was at. But he made that proposition to them, and then they didn't want any of that. Then they got upset with him, and then they were going to take care of him. And they said, we're going to deal worse with you than what we had in mind for the two that are inside your house. And the angels knew what was going on, and they grabbed them and yanked them inside. And then God blinds them, and still they are so bent in their sin that they were still looking for the door. Isn't that something? And so, again, the question is, how does this happen? Well, I want to back you up to Genesis chapter 13 and just give you some thoughts here of where it could have all begun for Lot's demise, really, and his backslidden condition. But we do thank the Lord for God's great mercy and salvation. God did hold his hand and keep his promise to Lot. But unfortunately, if you know the history, his daughters didn't fare so well, did they? And anyway, the offspring was cursed. But anyway, let's take a look here in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, where it all begins. Notice verse 1, it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. So Bethel, we know, is the house of God. And Hai, we know, is a heap of ruins. And that is really our old life. We can look at Bethel, the promises of God, the house of God, where he dwells and where his will is at, where his presence and where his peace and his love and all the good things that we would want. And then we could look to our old life. That is the heap of ruins, isn't it? We don't ever want to go back there, and yet we find Lot going back and seeking the old things and forgetting about the Lord and neglecting, so much so that if you remember, when he went to his sons-in-law, he appeared to them as one that was mocking, one that was joking, when he was telling them, listen, God's going to destroy this city. And they didn't believe him, did they? That's a pretty poor testimony that he had with his sons-in-laws. So as we consider this, we find the Lord is working in Abram's life, and he also wanted to work in Lot's life, but he was not yielded or willing. Verse 4 says this. He says, unto the place of the altar, this is where Abram was journeying and Lot was with him, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. Notice this, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So what's the difference here between Lot and Abram? That's really what we want to look at. Abram was an individual who was not perfect. He sinned also, and he had failed the Lord also, and Lot was a witness to that. But here in this particular case, it tells us that Abram called on the name of the Lord. He had a place of worship, so God to Abraham, or Abram at this particular case, so you'll know if I say Abraham, I'm really meaning Abram, even though he's not called Abraham yet. But here it is. He had a heart for the things of God. More important than anything else was Abram's relationship to his God. That's important. You know, there are so many things, if we're not careful, that can get into our lives to distract us, but none of those things should ever take the place of our God. He ought to have first place. Question, in heaven, what place will the Lord have when we're in his presence? He'll have first place, right? So shouldn't he already have first place on this side of eternity as well? So it would be important, and I think a blessing to the child of the Lord. By faith, God says, if you call upon me, I'm going to answer. And if you're looking to me, and if you're giving me your heart, and if you honor me, I will honor you. Now, there are really good things in this world to have that are more important than the temporal things that are around us. And that is, of course, our relationship with the Lord, from where our peace, our joy, and the love of God comes from. And so God ought to be number one in our lives, and we need to seek him early, as Abram did here, because it doesn't take too long before we get busy a little over here and a little over there, and God goes by the wayside. Oh, we don't forget about him. We think about him, but we don't honor him as he would have us to. I am convinced, as you look to the scriptures, it's important for you and I to call upon the name of the Lord if we want the blessing and favor of God in our life. If we want the peace of God and the love of God, it comes by a personal pursuit of our God in our own lives. Nobody can do that for us, and we can't do that for anybody else. So notice what happens here in verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now God promised him to bless him, and all those that would bless Abraham would also be blessed by the Lord. So that was the promise of the Lord. The Lord said, "I am going to bless you. I am going to make out of you a nation unto my honor, to my honor and glory." Now, what was there in Abram that God saw that He was going to? That He was going to honor Abram. There was nothing. Everything was on the Lord's side. Everything was from the Lord, and I don't understand it, but God chose Abram, and here's what He said. Everybody who blesses Abram and his seed will be blessed by the Lord. Is that not true today? I really believe that this nation is what it is today because we honor the Lord. It started, our nation started out as one that feared the Lord and wanted to honor God and serve Him. And also, we have become very concerned and very involved in Israel's well-being. And I think it's important for us to always be faithful to the Lord and also to God's people, speaking of those of the Abrahamic covenant, until they come to understand. Have they rejected the Lord as a nation? Are they blinded? Yes, absolutely. But I will tell you something that's really amazing that's going on. There are a lot of Jewish people in Israel that are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many channels. That means individuals that have their own YouTube channel. And I've been just watching. I can't even tell you the names. There's so many of them that are going around Jews. They are Jews in Israel that are telling other Jews about the Lord Jesus Christ being the Messiah. And they are coming to faith by the grace of God. So God is doing a work. Not only that, but there are a lot of Jews that are going back to Israel to live there. And I don't understand all of that, but certainly God said this was going to be the case and this is what was going to be taking place. And so God truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? Yes. Absolutely. So as we look at this here, we find Abram here looking to follow the Lord, and God blessed not only Abram, but also Lot as well. So what should be the disposition of every child of God? What is it that God is honored by? Is He not honored by humility? What is it that He resists? Does He not resist pride? He resists the proud, but to the humble, to those who come and bow themselves before the Lord and trust the Lord, He wants to bless and encourage. And that's what you will find was missing in Lot's life. And that's what you will see, as imperfect as Abram was, he was humble before the Lord. So we'll see that here in just a moment. So again, we saw verse 5. Look at verse 6 with me. And we find really a lack of humility in the heart and mind of Lot. Notice what it says here. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Now notice what it's saying there. They both had a lot of substance. They had a lot of capital. They had a lot of property. They had a lot of cattle. They had a lot. Both of them had a lot. But the only reason why Lot could have seen this was because God made a promise with Abram. Isn't that something? God made a promise with Abram. He didn't make it to Lot. The reason why Lot received what he had monetarily speaking was because of what he was doing in Abram's life. And it spilled over from Abram's life into Lot's life. Isn't that good? So, and there's nothing wrong with that. God intends to do that. But what happened was he did not have the humility that is necessary to walk with the Lord. And when that's not there, we look to our own. We lean to our own understanding and walk in our own ways instead of the Lord's way. So God allowed... Listen, did the Lord know that this strife was going to enter into the life of Lot and Abram? He did. In fact, it was sent there on purpose. Nothing happens to your life and mine before it goes through the mind of God. In fact, here's the real truth. Ready? Everything that happens to your life and mine, everything that happened to Abram's life and Lot's life, came to the heart and mind of God in eternity past before we were ever created. So God is way out ahead of the whole thing, isn't he? And so that's a good comfort and ought to bring us confidence as well in our walk with the Lord. So verse 7 says this, "And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Abram went to Lot the elder, the one who was blessed by the Lord, the one who was commissioned, the one who was promised to be blessed, and that all those that would bless him, God would bless." He was the elder, and he took Lot in, right? And he was the one that God had made the promise. And here's the one thing that you won't see in Abram, and that is pride in this particular case. He could have said, "Listen, young fella, what you have is been given to you because of the blessings that God has promised to me." God said, and he could have referred to him right here in chapter 12, he could have said to him that all those, that he would bless those. Look at verse 3, of chapter 12, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Abram could have pointed that truth out to Lot, but then he would have been proud himself, wouldn't he? It's important to walk in humility. And this is what we find displayed here in the life of Abram's life at this particular time. So notice verse 8, "And Abram said unto Lot," look at his concern, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Look, for we be what? For we be brethren." He could have demanded some things, and he would have been, he wouldn't have honored the Lord in that, but he didn't do that. And if it had been Lot, the attitude of Lot would have maybe demanded respect, and maybe by pride should have said, "You don't have a right to do this. Everything that you have is because of me." But again, that would be pride, wouldn't it? And so Abram didn't have that. He walked humbly with the Lord, and he put him on an equal footing. He said, "We be brethren." Well, they were more than just family. They were also in the Lord, weren't they? We saw that there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, how the Lord delivered just Lot. And so Abram understood that, and here's what he said. Verse 9, "Is not the whole land before thee?" Is not the whole, he's presenting. He says, "I want you to know something. Here it is. Ready? Look at all this land." And notice what he says here. "Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me." He saw this strife was not going to end. And so he said, let's resolve this issue because we're brethren. I'm going to give you first choice. "Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, listen, who was he? Abram was looking to the Lord from where his blessing came from. Here's what Abram knew. Ready? "It doesn't matter where I go. God is with me." Isn't that good? It doesn't matter. Here's what he said. Ready? "I can't lose." And by the way, you want to know a wonderful truth? Neither can you and I, if we trust the Lord. God can, listen, can God bring to pass his will in your life and mine? He won't force it, but if we trust him, you and I, God does not want us to force ourselves in any situation and to make certain things happen. He wants us to trust him that he will bring to pass in our lives. See, he is the one that is the Lord of our lives. We're not the Lord of our lives. He is the Lord of our lives. And if we will trust him, will he not bring his promises to pass in our life? Is God not faithful? Even if we're unfaithful, is he not faithful still? Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? Absolutely. And so he says, "I want you to make the choice." So what happens here is we find Lot's choice. Look at verse 10. "And Lot fasted and prayed for many days. Is that what he did? And Lot saw a decision he had to make and stopped himself and made an altar unto the Lord and worshiped and prayed, seeking God's direction for his life. No, he didn't do that, did he? And what did he do? And Lot did what? Lifted up his eyes. That tells us he was not walking by faith, doesn't it? What was moving him was what he saw. And what we see is not always right. And by the way, the Lord says, don't trust the flesh. We don't live by sight. We live by faith in the promises of what God has said. And God says, if we will humble ourselves, he will guide and direct our paths. And what that means is when we humble ourselves, we say, Lord, I need you to direct, because I am capable. In fact, it is my habit to take matters into my own hands that I might resolve my problems, but I want to look to you. That's the natural man. The natural man wants to do that. But the spiritual man that God has given to every believer, to each and every one of us, is to trust the Lord. So notice again verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to this, even as the garden of the Lord, I can't imagine what that must have looked like. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. So no doubt this was a very fertile land. In fact, the idea here is that the grass was up to the belly of the cattle. That's pretty healthy. That's a farmer's dream, right? A cattleman's dream when they have something like that. And so what happens here, verse 11, after he saw that, notice what he does. Didn't take time to pray. Didn't take time to seek God's direction. He just moved. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. Didn't even take time to ask the Lord. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's God's will. Just because it looks like it's a desired thing doesn't mean that we should have it. We ought to stop. Listen, we live in a day and age of Amazon's knocking on the... They don't even knock on the door. Before long, they're going to be, if they're not already, flying drones and dropping packages. And we live in a day and age where we want it now. We want it now. And so that tells us is that we have a society that is being programmed in their minds of where real happiness comes from, and that comes from things that are perishing and they're leaving this world. Look, even back in the day of Lot, he said, you know what I want? I'm looking at what I think. I'm having these visions of what could be in my life if I take this. And he did not stop to say, Lord, I need your direction. Because just because it looks good, and just because maybe there might be something in it for me, doesn't mean that that's what you want in my life. And so he didn't stop to talk to the Lord. It says, verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east until, notice, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Then now we find here Lot's final choice in the destruction of his future. This is what kind of sealed everything up here. Abram, verse 12, dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled, listen to this, in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And listen what the Lord says. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Isn't that amazing? Exceedingly. He was willing. Listen, there's no doubt this reputation had gone before them. And yet he still went towards that wickedness. And here's what he said to himself. I won't partake, and he didn't, I believe he didn't, I won't participate, I won't partake in what they're doing, I'll just live amongst them. And maybe he said this to himself, and you know what, I will tell them about my God. Maybe he thought that, I don't know that he did, and he may have not thought about that, but maybe, you know, sometimes as believers, we can do some things and excuse ourselves By justifying ourselves and saying, well, I'm going to bring some good out of this thing that does not appear to be right before the Lord. And that's what he did. He was justifying himself somehow to enter into a place of great wickedness. Now, Lot was spared, wasn't he? Lot was spared, but what happened to his wife? And I would dare say he probably loved his wife. What happened to his kids? And his sons-in-law, they were destroyed, weren't they? In fact, did they believe his witness? The big witness, you know, I'm not saying he did it, but maybe he said, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to go there. But what was moving him was not the Lord. What was moving him was gain for himself, whether he witnessed to his sons-in-laws or not. But then when he did witness them about the things of God, about the destruction that was coming from the Lord, they laughed at him. They said, oh, now you're going to get religious? I'm not saying that's exactly what they said, but they didn't believe him. And then what was the education that his other daughters that went with him, his daughters, what was their education like in the household of Lot? Well, we know by the wife, she looked back to Sodom that was being destroyed. And you know what? Their lifestyle, the daughter's lifestyle, weren't any better. And they committed wickedness with their father. Thinking, and by the way, did they not try to justify that? And in their own minds? See, the Bible says this, every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And also the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the Lord tells us, guard your heart. Guard your heart. How do we guard our heart? By allowing it to be shaped and molded by the Word of God. And we make that choice every day. To whom you yield yourselves to be servants, that's who you are the servant of. If it's to sin unto death, then that's where it's at. We make that choice. We make a cognitive choice every time we sin. We choose to sin. It doesn't have to be that way. Because as we noticed this morning, God has made us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have to yield anymore to sin. We used to be the slave to sin until we got a new master. Amen? And who's the new master? The Lord and Savior. The Lord God Almighty. And so we make a decision tonight, right now. We make a decision tonight. What do we love more? Ourselves, this world, or our God? Who are we going to serve? This world, ourselves, or our God? That's the choice we have. And so Abram chose the Lord. Now, he wasn't perfect, but I would dare say he faithfully served the Lord. He was not perfect, but he honored the Lord. And he had a heart for God. And by the way, the Bible himself, this is wonderful. Listen, the Bible called Abraham a friend of God. And he was not perfect. So can you and I be a friend of God? Yes, we can. Can you and I have a heart for God? But we can't have a heart for ourselves and a heart for God. We can't have a heart for the world and our God. We just have to have a heart for God. So where is our heart? What do we really want out of life? Do we want we can't have it both ways. And the ones that are playing with both ways are only fooling one person, and it's not the Lord. It'll be themselves. Amen? Lot did not fool anybody, but paid a price for his decision and for his choices. So, again, verse 12 and 13 says this, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You know, he made a choice, didn't he? He knew what was going on. When we know something is wrong, there's no way we can befriend it. There's no way we can befriend it and be right with the Lord. And yet he thought he could do that. If a man takes fire into his bosom, will he not be burned? There's no other way about it. So here's the last thought, and here's what we find here, and this is Abram's faith and the Lord's great faithfulness. Look at verse 14. So let me just paint this picture for you. Ready? So Abram says this. He says, Lot, We are brethren. We don't want to fight. You look and you decide wherever you want to go. I'll take the other side. We see what Lot does. He looks. And what does he take? He takes the best. He takes the well-watered. It looks like the garden. That's what the Bible says. It looked really good. And the rest probably didn't look as good. But see, God or Abram wanted to choose the Lord. He was trusting him. God made him a promise, and it was not incumbent or dependent upon Abram to bring the promise of God to pass, and Abram had that understanding. Does God need you and I to make things happen? No. And does God want us to make things happen if he's not doing it? He doesn't. And so now Lot chooses the best. I don't think, I'm conjecture on my part, that Abram was disappointed at all. I think he was trusting the Lord. Look how the Lord works. So there's Abram, and it may have grieved him that they couldn't be together any longer. And Lot made his choice, and there he is just waiting. And what does the Lord do? He shows up. He was there the whole time, but now he speaks to Abram. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, listen, Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, it was like he was saying, Abram, I've got something to show you. Abram, I want you to see something. Ready? And the Lord said to Abram after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, where you're standing, look to the north and southward and eastward and westward. He's looking at a lot, isn't he? For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for how long? Forever. Isn't that amazing? Forever. The Lord comes through because of Abram's faith in his God. Isn't that good? The Lord will also come through to you and I and give us things even better than you and I could have ever imagined if we would trust and wait upon the Lord. You and I don't have to make anything happen, but if we will humble ourselves and trust the Lord, he will bring things to pass in his life. And then when he brings things to pass in his life, in our life, who will we praise when the Lord does it? But if we're the ones that make things happen, we force things, right? Look, who are we going to praise? We're going to say, man, look what I did. And we can give God the credit, but if we're the ones that are making it happen, it's not the Lord that's doing it. And one of the key indicators when we're making things happen, there's no peace, there's no joy, and there's no love of God. See? Self is on the throne. Who was on the throne of Lot's life? Lot, wasn't it? It wasn't the Lord. And so, was he a happy person? I dare say he lost it all. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his wife. He lost his posterity, his grandkids. Gone. Where are they? They're not. They don't have a relationship with the Lord. More important than anything that we can give our kids, than anything of this world, is a relationship with the Lord. If they have that, don't they have everything? They have everything. And so he says, look in all directions, because I'm going to give you this land and to your seed. How about that? Wouldn't you like that promise? I'm going to give you all of my promises, and I'm going to give your children and their children forever. I'm going to give them the promises. Isn't that good, great? Verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. There were a lot from the time of Abram all the way to the time of the New Testament. Were there not believers in the Lord God who had died and gone on? David is also part of that lineage, is he not? Joseph is part of that lineage, is he not? where is David and his family and Joseph, the saved ones? Where are all these saved people? Are they not in the presence of the Lord? Whose seed are they? Abram's. It just never ends. And still till today, there are Jewish people that are being saved. And by the way, another wonderful, look at how God multiplies. All those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ are also of the seed of Abraham. Amen. So all the people that are going to heaven is a fulfillment of God's promise to Abram. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And God wants to do that in your life and mine. And so, again, verse 16, and we'll finish up here. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. So what does he do? Then Abram removed his tent. Remember, he was at the place where he was worshiping, and the Lord was working. And came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there, what did he do? And built there an altar unto the Lord. Do you think Lot built an altar unto the Lord? I'm afraid to say I don't think so. I'm afraid to say I don't think so. So what was Lot's unfortunate case that caused him to be in a backslidden condition? Saved child of God. What was it? He neglected the promises of God. And if we neglect what God has promised and his direction, it will also cost us. God is not a respecter of persons, is he? He doesn't favor one above the other. He doesn't punish one above the other. But he says all those that will honor him, he will honor. And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect or mature toward him. And so we can receive the blessings of God that he has promised to every believer by having a heart for God and not for this world and not for ourselves. God says, I will bless you. Amen? And isn't that amazing? You and I are part of the promise that God made to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? So tonight, God says, enjoy the heritage and the, promises that have been given to every one of God's children. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, may we reflect and be thankful for what God has given to us, and may we diligently seek God that we might find him and be found faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we are undeserving, and yet you are so merciful and gracious to want to bless our lives. May we be yielded to you, and may we look to you and not ourselves, that you might bring things to pass in our life that you desire us to have. Lord, we don't want anything that you don't want us to have, but we certainly want everything that you have promised. Bless the invitation and bless us, your people, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.